Good evening and welcome. Welcome to Dirty Secrets of Small Business. This is Jack Mancini, and I'm here as our typical Wednesday night at 7 p.m. I'm here with my longstanding business partner, Adam Sunhalter. As you know, we're business coaches. We deal with companies from 1 to 25 employees, and we have a lot of fun doing it. And when I say deal, what we do is counsel them. We coach them. We coach these small business owners regardless of what industry they're in. We coach them through their problems. And we've been doing this together forever, it seems, Adam.
That's a good thing, right, Jack?
It is. It's a real good thing. And what we do is put a program together weekly about the situations that we encounter as our day job with Maximum Value Partners develops issues with our clients, and we come up with solutions, and we try to make a show out of that. And sometimes we wander off that reservation, and we have guests. So we do two things. We talk about problems, Adam and I, and we also bring in guests. And our guests are outstanding. Like tonight, we'll introduce somebody in a few minutes who's the CEO of a law firm, and naturally he's a lawyer. And we'll talk to him, and he has a very, very interesting story. And probably he has the best podcast ever, which we'll talk about that a little bit as well. But we have, as I said, a lot of fun doing this stuff, and we cover lots of topics. We've been doing it. We have probably over 200 podcasts ourselves and lots of radio shows. So with that, I'm going to introduce my partner, Adam Sunhalter. He's a partner with myself in a company, again, called Maximum Value Partners. And I'm going to give it to Adam. Adam?
All right, Jack. Thank you. And welcome, everybody, to Dirty Secrets of Small Business. As you know, you're always welcome to be part of the show. If you want to call in, we got 440-946-9468. With the topic tonight being law firms, and we're going to talk about Alex here in a second. Alex is kind of the anti-lawyer, right, which means he understands and he's trying to do things the right way. So when I say anti-lawyer, he's doing a lot of good things where a lot of lawyers aren't. But Alex Gertzberg of the Gertzberg Law Firm is here with us tonight. Alex, glad you could join us here in the studios.
Thanks, Adam. Thanks, Jack. Nice to be here.
And so I say anti-lawyer in a very positive way. And I think that's, I know you use different language, but from a business person standpoint, that's a good way to kind of think about it, to have some positive thoughts kind of going through versus a lot of negative thoughts. And so we may get a few callers tonight that have some negative stories. But before we get to that, it's always good for our audience to understand kind of where you came from. And you have a very interesting background in terms of how you got to where you were today. But just give people a little sense in terms of, you know, things like starting with kind of where you grew up, how you got here. I know you got a lot of things that have influenced you to kind of get you today. But just give us a little flavor of your background, Alex.
Sure. Adam, thanks. Lifelong Clevelander, grew up on the east side, realized I wanted to go to law school the first time I watched L.A. Law. I was 8 years old, and I really wanted to be Arnie Becker.
Which one is that?
That was Corbin Burnson's.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, I thought that if you could get paid to stand up in front of a bunch of people and talk them into stuff, wear nice clothes, date beautiful women, that sounds like a fantastic career.
Wait a minute. This was at 8 years old?
Well, this is from eight to my teenage years. Then I really wanted to be Arnie Becker. Always sort of knew I'd go to law school. It was kind of a pain in the butt to my parents arguing with them all the time. And they said, well, let's see if we can monetize this.
Perfect.
So went to Miami of Ohio, then to Cleveland State Law School. I'd gone to college on an Army ROTC scholarship, was commissioned as an officer in the Army Reserve just before law school. Worked for a couple of large law firms right afterwards, and about halfway through my second law firm, where I was litigating, just doing business litigation, almost entirely on the defense side, got called up, went to Iraq, served for a year over there in an Army transportation unit. We're going to talk a little bit later about Cover My Six. That was the first time I heard that phrase, was Cover My Six, was in Iraq. Came back, went back to work at these big firms, and at one point, one of our clients, a big telecom company, asked me to join them as their first in-house general counsel. I said, yes, happy to, but when I when he asked me what I was making at the law firm, and I told him, he said, well, we can't pay you that much. How about if I give you a little stock? I said, well, you're kind of like a startup, so I don't know how much that's worth. And he said, I'll tell you what, I'll take that, but let me keep working for other clients while I'm working for you.
That's a good deal. That's smart.
Well, it made for a lot of late nights and non-weekends, but it built up what became the Gertzberg Law Firm 8 years later. So that's the really abbreviated version.
Really, that's okay. Yeah. We'll dig in. So talk about again. Like everything that we do in life, usually our past experiences help to shape what we eventually kind of get to, right? And so, as you're going through, you're working for a couple good-sized law firms, and we know as a young attorney, they're all about billable hours. They're more about it even when you get as a more senior attorney, but especially early on, it's all these crazy billable hours, right? And that's what people tend to focus on. And then you had a chance to go in-house, right? And it's one of those things that people, like CPAs, they'll be in public accounting also, and then they go to the private side. And then often when they do that, they never come back, right? And it's like they kind of, they're able to escape. But as you're kind of going through that and you're seeing things that were kind of going on, there were certain things that just weren't, I think, sitting right with you, both when you were at the big law firms, but also then when you were in-house counsel. I know you had to hire some outside law firms. So talk about kind of what you were seeing in the from lawyers. You probably saw a lot of things that were consistent, but from your standpoint, they weren't really making much sense in terms of why they were doing what they're doing. So give a little sense of what you were kind of starting to see there.
So the big lesson at the big law firms that I worked at, and this was my experience, I know that it's a common experience, but I don't want to paint with too broad a brush here, but my experience was that there wasn't a lot of incentive for lawyers to end the case early and to be cost-effective. Certainly not with the big firms, and certainly not for big money litigation like I was involved in. The other thing I learned really quickly was that the clients aren't ever really happy in litigation. the job of your lawyer, the job of your lawyer is to stress out the other side when you're litigating, and their job is to stress you out. But the lawyers don't really get stressed out. We are hardwired for courtroom battles. That's right. Why we didn't have to be litigators. We could have gone and been commercial lawyers, contract attorneys, real estate lawyers, right? Not that those aren't stressful in their own way, but experiences are like gladiating. It's a constant tension. It's constant combat. Clients don't like that. Clients just want to get back to business. So that was a big light bulb for me, was that even when we knocked it out of the park, even when we got our client everything they wanted from a liability standpoint, they still didn't end the day happy when they walked out of the courtroom. They were distracted. They were stressed. Everything is done in a public record, in a public forum. Then when I went in-house, the lessons there from the other side of that coin were pretty glaring. One was that I realized that I hated, when I was the client, having to call my lawyers to find out what was going on in my case. There was an emotional detachment there. They kind of saw their job as, I'm going to show up, I'm going to do my thing in court, and I'm gonna do my best. I'm gonna try to win. Leave me alone until then, make sure you pay my bill, right?
It's almost like you were a nuisance or bothering them, and instead of them understanding where you are, it's almost like you're just describing that. I'm almost picturing like going into a medical procedure.
Yeah.
Where you go in there, and for them, it's like it's just what I do day in and day out. But for you, this is maybe the only time I go through something like this, right?
It's exactly right. And they have a lot of unhappy clients. They've got a lot of noise. Right, so for them, and again, this is a lot of lawyers that I know, and I'm sure a lot of lawyers that your listeners know. It's not every lawyer, but there seemed to me to be a fundamental disconnect in empathy. When I'm the client, I was at my company. I'm the client, and I'm handing over to my lawyer one of the most important things in my world, one of the most stressful things in my life. And I'm paying them $200-$400 an hour to handle it, to hold my baby and make this problem go away. And there didn't seem often to be the sense of urgency and the sense of empathy that I wanted. Similarly, there didn't seem to me to be a real understanding that I also had a boss. Every business owner has bosses. It's their families, it's their partners, it's their employees, right? And I didn't often get a sense that my outside counsel understood that when they went over budget, I had to explain that to my CEO. They then had to explain it to their shareholders and to the board. And it really is like a punch in the gut feeling when the case doesn't go your way, when the case goes over budget, when it takes too long, and your expectations as a client haven't been managed, when there isn't good documentation, when there aren't good letters and conversations saying, this is how this might go. Here are your various options. It may not be a quick and dirty solution here. This is what you should expect to pay. When I was surprised, I then had to take that surprise to my CEO and to the board and to the C-suite, and they were looking at me like I was an idiot. So that was another disconnect. And those lessons, those light bulbs, informed the way we try to relate to our clients today, and ended up leading to this conversation that I had with my CEO when I said, this was about 8 years in to serving as his general counsel. I said, you know, I've now worn these two hats, three hats when you count the Army hat. And that's a whole nother leadership hat that definitely informs a lot of how we think about our relationships. But I said to him, I said, you know, having worn these hats, I think I want to start my own law firm and take the lessons that I've learned from those roles that I've had and try to build the law firm that I used to want to work for and build the law firm that I used to want to hire and see if there's a competitive advantage there, see if I can be disruptive. And that was 7 years ago, November 3rd.
Okay.
So I'm still trying to figure it out, but we haven't.
Well, 7 years isn't that long, but it is long, but not that long. Yeah, that's good.
I think there's a correlation, whether it's direct or not, Jack, to dog years and business years, especially early on. Maybe it's even like maybe 10 to 1 early on, right? Because you are living it 24/7. Things are going on. You're trying to get things kind of ramped up. It's funny, as you mentioned, you know, I think one of the common impressions, you know, we certainly have, Alex, when it comes from the disconnect with lawyers and that, you know, I think we've all been involved. And you talk about litigation, especially. It almost feels like it's this group. You got the lawyers who are dealing with each other, and they see each other a lot. And then you got the judges, right? And it's almost like you, as the plaintiff or the defendant, are kind of like, yeah, you're just kind of there, right? It's like, you know, there's stuff going on with these folks, and it's all just, well, we're going to get the settlement here. We'll do this, do that. And there's that kind of disconnect in terms of what's kind of going on. You know, I think it's a very, very frustrating thing for folks to be able to kind of try to find somebody who's good, and you often don't know until you're already knee deep in it with folks, right? So I think there's probably a reason why. I think you touched on when we talked about when people go look to hire attorneys. I want to get that after get back from the break here. Kind of talk about why maybe, you know, we as business owners maybe are at fault here too in terms of what's, you know, what we're expecting from or kind of looking for, but also in terms of, hey, what are some of the simple things that you guys look to do? You mentioned empathy as one, but there's a lot of things you guys do that I think are very simple and basic. That we've been talking about for years, Jack, that I think you're finally starting to do, and I guess you're having some very good success with it because you're acting like a business person, not like a lawyer, right? So we got more of Alex when we come back, so stay tuned. I'm Adam Sunhalter.
I'm Jack Mancini, and you can be part of the program, 440-946-9468.
All right, we got more Dirty Secrets of Small Business coming your way on Integrity Radio, WINT 1330 AM, 101.5 FM, and online, WINTradio.com. All right. Hey, we're back on the air. All right, welcome back to Dirty Secrets of Small Business. I gotta get, you know, That's what happens in between the breaks. We start talking about stuff, and we forget that we're going back on the air. So welcome back, everybody, to Dirty Secrets of Small Business. I'm Adam Sunhalter.
I'm Jack Mancini, and I'm making signals in here.
That's it. We're making all kinds of hand signals here. So anyway, we're fortunate tonight. We're joined in studio here by Alex Gertzberg of the Alex Gertzberg Law Firm. He's the CEO, founder, and probably 17 other titles we can give him, but he's the man as it speaks. The first segment, Alex was sharing a bit of his story with us in terms of how the idea for his law firm kind of came about, in terms of what he saw both working at some big law firms and then being on the client side, in terms of what he saw trying to hire different law firms and work with those folks and try to create things that he thought were going to make much, you know, would make a lot of sense. As we're going to break, I was talking to Alex about not only some of the things that you see there, but also in terms of some of the things that maybe us as clients hiring or people looking to hire attorneys, things that we're kind of doing wrong. There's this disconnect. There's this gap where maybe there shouldn't be. So give our...
Well, wait a minute. So many people think that they're going to see Law and Order, right? You know, right, yeah. Wonderful-looking people who are right there, the police and the prosecutor, and everyone's just one big happy family there that throws out results. Isn't that how it is?
Yeah, every day.
Okay, I kind of figured it was. But I think people first time into the system come in there with a lot of total misconception, you know, that's just not how Hollywood and television does not really depict the real world of litigation.
Well, that's exactly right. We sometimes it does feel like we live in a bubble and people that we meet think that it's all Law and Order or LA Law. And it is very, you were saying it sometimes feels like it's us versus them. But it is a great profession to be a part of. And I love it. I love being a lawyer. The best thing I love about being a lawyer is being able to help people. And we're a business law firm, so all of our clients are businesses or business owners. And I mean, you guys know this, you coach business owners, small business owners. So one thing that I think the three of us in this room probably know well is how isolating it is sometimes to be a business owner or a solo. And you've got your life savings tied into your business, and that there's that moment that every business owner feels about, you know, whether they are going to make payroll. You know, sure. I mean, I've felt that as a business owner. And that is not something you can talk about with your employees. That's something that most people can't talk about with their spouses, you know. So when one way that we try to sort of mind meld with our clients, right? You remember Star Trek?
I was just going to say, Jackson feels like this. He goes, I'm like, what are you doing? He goes, I'm trying to mind meld. Okay, get. I don't know. So, okay, we got two Trekkies all between you guys. Go ahead. That's all right. Good.
Jack's probably way more of a Trekkie than I am. But one way that we try to connect with them is by being more than their lawyers, by understanding how they think as business owners, how they feel when they have those stresses that they can't talk about with other people. Look, there's 10,000 lawyers in Cleveland, probably more than that, right? And a lot of them know how to practice law. I think, and I'm sure this is something that you talk about with your clients, when you talk about find your niche, find your competitive advantage, find what can you do that no one else is doing out there. What we try to do is be more than lawyers at our firm. And that's how we came up with Cover My Six. It's easy to take a phone call when you're a lawyer, it's easy to take a phone call from a panicked client who just received a summons in the mail, and now they got to show up in court, and this complaint that's attached to the summons has all these horrible things about them. You know, their heart sinks, and it's a public record, and all those things are false or just, you know, misstatements of facts, small nuances, right? They're dying inside. We came up with this program called Cover My Six to stop that from ever happening to our clients. If I can help our clients stop the lawsuit, stop the cease and desist letter, stop the government investigation before it starts, I promise you, I'm doing way more to help them than I can when the thing comes in the mail, when the summons is posted to their door.
Okay, this is a great answer to a question we've asked all kinds of attorneys over the years. We do the same thing with CPAs, because we'll talk to clients about CPA stuff and say, look, if you didn't have to pay taxes, I mean, we have to pause, dramatic pause. Okay, picture that world, right? All right. Anyway, so picture that world, we don't have to pay taxes. What would you talk to your CPA about, right? And we get that deer in headlights look, like, what do you mean? Like, I wouldn't. Almost 99 times out of 100, it's like, I wouldn't, right? But yet the CPA thinks, well, we're doing all kinds of great stuff, right? So we'll often ask business attorneys, okay, well, until somebody gets that summons, that phone call, that email, whatever it might be, how do you introduce you to somebody? How can you come in ahead of time? And what you're talking about, Alex, is something that you come in and say, hey, I'm coming in being preemptive on these things to kind of come in. So talk a little bit. So what are the six?
Yeah.
You said, cover my six. You referred back to your time in the military as well, is where you first heard it. But I'm guessing maybe it's different for that versus what you heard. But yeah, I'm curious who the six are.
So cover my six. In the military and in a lot of buddy cop movies, if you've ever watched, like, well, it's probably in Law and Order too. There's 12.
Starsky and Hutch. I'm thinking. There,
yeah, yeah. Okay. I'm sure it's been said in Starsky and Hutch. 12 o'clock is in front of you. 3 o'clock's to your right. 6 o'clock is your butt. Right. Cover my butt.
Okay.
So, the six in Cover My Six, other than your butt. It refers to the six relationships that every single business in America has that could possibly cause it to be sued or investigated. It's intuitive. There's only six potential plaintiffs out there. It's customers, vendors, shareholders, employees, competitors, and the government.
Okay.
Those are the six groups of people that can sue you.
Okay.
Okay. So, what are those again? Say those again.
Customers, employees, shareholders, vendors, competitors, and the government. So I've been practicing law for almost two decades, most of it in litigation, hundreds of lawsuits, maybe thousands. I lost count a long time ago. Every single one had one of those six as the plaintiff.
Okay.
So if you know that, if you know going in that those are your six groups of plaintiffs, of snipers, then optimizing those relationships from a legal standpoint should minimize your liability.
Okay.
So in the Army, when I was in Iraq, there was this concept called make yourself a hard target, right? So we were a transportation company, and the way to make yourself a hard target in a convoy is by spreading your convoy out so that if there's an IED or an ambush or a sniper, he doesn't take out more than one truck at a time.
Okay.
You also would have a gun truck weave in and out of your convoy. That makes you a hard target because if they can go after a convoy with a gun truck or one without a gun truck, they're going to choose the one without a gun truck. Right, gun truck
right.
is this big giant semi with armored gates, and it's got a 60 cal machine gun and M60s planted, and lots of
firepower.
It's a big gun truck.
Right.
You would put sandbags on the floor of your Humvee and your tractor trailer, so that if you went over an IED and it blew up, you didn't blow off your legs. That made you a hard target. So that concept informs. How we talk to our clients in the Cover My Six world of lawyers, right? Make yourself a hard target in those six relationships.
I'm picturing a video you've produced on this to bring them in. You say, watch this video, scare the living hell out of them, right? And they say, okay,
let's get to work.
Take care of these things, right?
Yeah, exactly. I could, Adam, you're making a great, you're giving me great ideas here. I could motivate people more by with those kinds of videos.
That would be a pretty good film.
Yeah. I might ask for your help in making them.
It's all right.
But gosh, you ask what would you talk to your lawyer about if you're not calling him when you're getting sued?
Right.
You would say, make me a hard target. Help me not get sued, right? So there is a lot of low-hanging fruit that businesses should be asking their lawyers about in that conversation. Customer agreements, right? Your customer contract should be filled with ways to resolve your disputes outside of court. There should be a waterfall dispute resolution provision in not just your customer contract, but your employee agreements, your vendor contracts, your shareholder agreements. A waterfall dispute resolution clause says, in the context of, for example, a customer agreement, before you, the customer, can sue me, the company, you have to give me written notice. You then have to give me 14 days to cure your complaint, an opportunity to cure. If those two things don't work, we are going to have a face-to-face meeting. If those three things don't work, we're going to go to mediation. And if those four things all fail to resolve your complaint, then we'll go to either arbitration or court.
Okay, that's the waterfall. I mean, hold on to that thought, because it's a very interesting thought. We have to hit our next break, though, real quick. So, you know, to see if we can repeat that when we come back, Jack, in terms of what the waterfall is going to be. You got it written down? All right, good. So we'll have more of Alex Gertzberg when we come back here. Stay tuned. I'm Adam Sonhalter.
I'm Jack Mancini.
And we got more Dirty Secrets of Small Business coming your way here on Integrity Radio, WINT 1330 AM, 101.5 FM, and online, wintradio.com. Diamond. Thank you, Scotty. That's it right there. All right, welcome back to Dirty Secrets of Small Business. I'm Adam Sonhalter.
I'm Jack Mancini. We're doing a little bit of Neil Diamond tonight. Maybe we'll join hands and fire away.
We do some karaoke here once in a while, Alex. Hope you're okay with that, because we have awful voices, but hey, this is our show. We can do whatever we want to do. So we're going to break, and we were talking about Cover My Six, which has six components. Let me see. The six we're going to protect are going to be customers, employees, vendors, the government.
Oh.
Come on, there are two more, Jack.
Looking at me. Yeah, the last two tough ones. That's because you can't remember what they are.
I got four of the six. I'm two-thirds of the way there.
For me to save you?
Yeah.
Competitors and shareholders.
Competitors and shareholders. Okay, those are important people. Yeah.
It's intuitive. If you draw if you draw a circle and you put your company in the middle of it, just draw from it the six relationships that every company has.
Makes perfect sense.
Really aren't.
See, the problem with that, though, Alex, I don't view my relationship, I don't view the government as somebody I have a relationship with, I guess. Is that maybe why I don't see it?
Right. Not a happy
it's
one.
It's pretty one-sided, typically, isn't it? Right? I kind of got to do whatever they say versus the other way. At least the other ones, I have some sort of negotiation, it seems like.
Remember, what we're doing here, we're not trying to make everyone friends. We're trying to protect the company from those six relationships.
Right.
So maybe relationships is a misnomer.
So you're going to come in and wedge in between. So we had, as we're going to break, we're talking about, again, did you remember what the waterfall was, Jack? The waterfall?
No.
we have these fancy words that we'll bring up once in a while. We always pause. Okay, so let's do it again. It's a waterfall. What's it called?
It's a waterfall dispute resolution provision. Okay.
Waterfall dispute provision resolution.
So it's a multi-step process that you're describing. Is that like putting barbed wire and around you in different levels there that make it just discouraging for those six?
Well, that's a great analogy, because that's how I think about it too. Right?
Okay.
Is if I can, I'm not creating obstacles to a lawsuit. I'm creating steps that have to happen before my client gets sued. The way I think about contracts, when I draft a contract for one of my clients, I pretend like I'm the little kid in the sandbox that won't let anyone play with their toys. I'm there for one reason and one reason only, and that's to protect my client from people who want to sue them. And the next time that anyone is probably going to read at least the legal language in that contract is when they're mad at each other, when they're not friends anymore, when somebody wants to send my client a demand letter for a bunch of money. So before that client of mine gets that summons in the mail, gets that cease and desist letter, gets, starts getting harassed by another lawyer, I want my client to be able to point to a contract and say, wait, Mr. Customer, or wait, Mr. Disgruntled Employee, or wait, Mr. Vendor, we've got a process here. We agreed to it in this document. Let's go through the process. Let's make the process work. I can't tell you how much anxiety and time and money and fear that waterfall dispute resolution has saved our clients. I will tell you that it is not not equally enforceable in every single context. So courts are careful before taking away somebody's day in court, right? So one thing they look at is whether you have equal bargaining power with the person on the other side of the contract. So a court will, if you are a business and you have a contract with another business, a court is more likely to enforce a forced arbitration provision or one of these kinds of dispute resolution provisions with a business than it would be with a consumer. But there are things that your lawyer can do to make that more enforceable. So what we do is we put the dispute resolution provision into a separate document, a separate piece of paper when it's with a consumer or with an employee. We have it separately executed. We have language at the bottom that's in boldface or all caps saying, you understand or I understand that this affects my rights in court. I have had full and unfettered opportunity to consult with an attorney, things like that. Mm-hmm. Basically creating gravity. The business-to-business contracts are more easy to enforce those kinds of provisions than business-to-consumer contracts, but you can draft to increase your chance of enforceability. Similarly, partnership agreements. You've got two sophisticated parties there. Courts presume that they know what they're doing and that they've read, rightly or wrongly, that they've read the contract.
That's okay.
They presume it. Huh?
The sophisticated parties. Well, yeah, I guess what you're defining, you're kind of laying out the rules of engagement, right? Here's what we're going to do, and yeah, if this happens in step one, two, three, okay, yeah. we'll go through. Here's what we're going to follow. You can't just jump to step five. We got to go through these things and make sure things are there. Right. The idea that we won't get to court.
What if you don't have a signed agreement between two people, like? Regulations like copyright, for example,
yeah.
or trademarks, or you know,
right.
what I didn't sign anything, but I used a picture of Neil Diamond on my
right.
on my whatever, you know.
So, folks out there who would seek to sue you, like the government or like a competitor, with whom, and I use by the way competitor very broadly, someone who's arguing that you're infringing on their patent.
Okay.
For example, may or may not be a direct competitor, but we put them into that relationship, into that group. Folks that you don't have a contract with, you're not going to have a dispute resolution provision with, right? So that won't work in every relationship. It works where you have a contract and where you've had a lawyer draft that dispute resolution provision appropriately for you.
Got it. Okay.
With those folks, what we do is we do an intellectual property audit for our clients. We get our arms around their patents, their copyrights, their trademarks. We understand where their confidential information is and how it's protected. We look at their non-compete agreements, non-solicitation agreements, confidentiality agreements. Those are things that they can do within their house, right? With respect to competitors whose technology they may be infringing, well, that's a conversation that we have. And then if there's a risk of that, then we talk about workarounds, we talk about negotiating license agreements with the patent holder. But the important thing is having that conversation proactively, not waiting, right? Do that Cover My Six audit. Don't do it with me necessarily, but if you're a business owner and you're not talking to your lawyer about who can sue you, and for what, and what you can do to avoid it now, then you're just a sitting duck. You're just waiting. It's going to happen. You're a business in America. Lawsuits are a way of life.
Mm-hmm. So if I can use an analogy, because we've been talking about some of the wartime stuff or military stuff. So the Cover My Six won't make you necessarily bulletproof, but it can help put the vest around you to protect you from a fatal injury. So yeah, I might get shot, but it's not going to kill me, kind of thing, right? Same thing's true here. Also, yeah, it's not going to protect you totally because, again, there's always some ways, but you're going to at least protect the most important parts of the company.
That's a great analogy, Adam. I would add another one, though. I would say it's like putting on Kevlar or camouflage,
okay,
because it makes it harder for the other side to want to come after you.
Right. Okay.
Both good analogies. We can keep rolling with military analogies.
It's along the way here, right? I have no military experience, by the way. He's an ex Coast Guard, so you guys have military stuff. I'm learning as I go. Although you're showing us hand signals before, Jack, we won't get into that on the air. So give us a story. Maybe it's a recent story where this has worked to save. Whether it saved a fatal blow for one of your clients, or again, certainly saved lots of dollars and hassle and time with clients. Yeah. Is this something you can share with us?
We were representing an e-commerce company. Gosh, I'd love to tell you more about it, but it's attorney-client privileged, and there's a limit to how much I can share. But I can tell you that it was an international, large e-commerce company, did a lot of business over the internet, and hired us to do a Cover My Six audit. They had a couple hundred employees. This was about a year and a half ago. Had a couple hundred employees, and they had a lot going on. And one thing that we realized as we were performing our audit, one of the things that we asked for, so our audits basically involve us suing our client before they're actually sued. So we go through the same motions that a lawsuit would, but we do it as their lawyers, and it's confidential and it's friendly. So we, instead of sending subpoenas, we send them a document request. Okay. Instead of taking their deposition, we do management interviews. And so we go through that process. And so in the course of reviewing the documents that they produce to us and then interviewing their managers, we got a hold of their insurance policy and realized that they had no cyber coverage. E-commerce company. Wow. A technology company had no cyber coverage. And that's one of the things we put insurance into the corporate or shareholder bucket.
Okay.
Just because that's the natural place, right? I mean,
one of Jack's favorite topics is insurance, by the way. Yeah, he loves insurance. We can talk about insurance for hours.
Please don't.
Well, here, I'll talk about it for one more minute. Once we realized that they didn't have cyber coverage, we told them to fire their insurance agent, and we put them in touch with our insurance agent. And I'll say who they are. It's McGowan Insurance, and they do a great job. Quoted them cyber coverage, got them a hefty policy. 1 month later, there was a data breach. Month later, they were hacked, and the hackers were from Eastern Europe, and took a bunch of credit card data and put it on the dark web. They did the Cover My Six audit and were able to be proactive and having this sort of holistic conversation with their lawyers, they had coverage that kicked in. Got the best cybersecurity firm in the country, one of the best cybersecurity lawyers, all on the insurance company's dime.
Nice.
Without it, they would have been out of business because of this hack. It's things like that. When you have those proactive, holistic, I mean, and when I say holistic, I mean, don't think about one relationship and don't think about that one lawsuit or that one thing that keeps you up at night. Think about all of those relationships. If you have that proactive, holistic conversation with your lawyer, you find things like that. And it was a bet the company question.
That's good. I like that. It sounds like it's a proctological examination. They're doing everything. I like the way you market it. Hey, we're not going to depose you. We're going to do interviews. But you're coming in. It's probably hostile. The idea is you want to come in and give them the feel for what it's like to be interrogated like that and what's going on.
Yeah. We let them know up front. Gosh, Adam, your analogies are dead on. The proctology exam's a great analogy too. We tell them, look, you want us to be doing this,
right?
And by the way, we're not going to send a team of lawyers into your business in suits. We're going to do this in our conference room. You guys, if you want it, we can do it by phone. We can do it by video conference. But we're going to make this not intimidating,
right?
Not stressful. But we are going to examine you. We are going to flush everything out that we can flush out that could indicate that there's a problem.
That's good. All right. Well, we got one segment to go, and it's, as always the case, it's one of the fastest hours in radio and podcast sphere. So stick around. We got more Dirty Secrets coming your way. I'm Adam Sunhalter.
I'm Jack Mancini.
And we got more Dirty Secrets here on Integrity Radio, WINT 1330 AM, 101.5 FM, and online, WINTradio.com. All right. I know that one. That's Creedence Clearwater Revival, baby. All right, a little CCR rocking out the evening. All right, that's always a good thing. Welcome back to Dirty Secrets of Small Business. I'm Adam Sunhalter, and we're here tonight. We have our guest, Alex Gertzberg, who is the CEO, founder, chief poobah, all the good stuff of the Alex Gertzberg Law Firm, and he was sharing lots of different stuff about proctological examinations last time. That went really
that's
well.
That's right.
But I want to talk a little bit and switch, you know, just shift topics a little bit, because there's things I was mentioning earlier, Alex, about things that you do, and you're thinking of more like a business person, and things that you do that are kind of principles for you guys in terms of operating law firm. And we've been talking about this for years, okay? One simple thing that every attorney could do is to respond within 24 hours. Mm-hmm. And we've had law firms or clients, and we've told them something like this. Like, if you could just own that, and it seems so simple with today's technology, yet attorneys aren't doing it.
Yeah.
How come? What's going on?
So I got a lot of theories about that, Adam, but and I don't know which one's right. But the best thing that I can imagine is it's just an empathic disconnect. They just I think that they're not putting themselves into the position of their client. They're not realizing that the client is handing their baby to them. Giving the lawyer the most important thing, the most stressful thing that's happening to them. Nobody deals with litigation with a smile on their face. So they're saying to the lawyer, here, take this and make this problem go away. And when the client calls the lawyer with a question, it's probably not an inane, inconsequential question. It's a question that's going to bother them when they're trying to play with their kids, when they're trying to have dinner with their family, when they're trying to talk to their employees, they're gonna fixate on that question.
Right.
To not respond to your client when they have a question, whether it's by email, by text, or by phone, or by carrier pigeon, is just it's a disconnect in empathy. You're not putting yourself on the emotional level of your client.
Yeah, okay. I try to think about it because it's, you know, one of the things that we do with our business. It's, again, we tell people we're available 24/7. I may not answer the phone at 3 a.m., but I'll get back to you know when I'm awake or quickly thereafter. We don't understand, like, again, if something happens, to your point, the stress that's there, just a simple text, hey, Alex, I got your phone call. I can't talk right now. Can we talk tomorrow? Whatever. Just
right.
I got, or hey.
Just that acknowledgement.
Yeah,
that's
hey,
right.
I got
yeah,
it.
That's all.
There's no update yet, but I'm going to do it. Okay, whatever it might be. To your point, it's just helping. You're calling for a reason. And I was talking to an attorney a couple months ago, and he talked about almost having disdain for his clients. So, well, you know, I don't give out my cell phone number. I'm like, why not? He goes, well, I don't want them calling me. I go, what do you mean? What do you mean you want them calling you? I said, that's what you're there for, right? And to your point, it's like, they aren't just making up questions to ask you in the middle of the night or whatever. If it's something that they're worried about, you'd want to welcome those calls. You know, when clients reach out to us, you know, to me, that's always fantastic. Like, what's going on? How can we help you? Because often it's a 5-minute discussion here or there, just trying to calm down, or they just want to talk about things. And so something as simple as just kind of getting back to people is one thing. Another thing that we're very focused on, we're trying to rid the world of this, and I think you're on our side with this too, is trying to get rid of hourly billing and really focus more on value-based pricing, right? If we had to try to price our coaching by the hour, it'd be crazy.
Oh, it'd be like, look, terrible. It seems to be phasing out, though, isn't it? Or am I wrong with that?
I think that there are a lot of lawyers and a lot of egos and a lot of belief that they are in so high demand that they can charge by the hour and it will always be paid. That those lawyers are tough to turn around. What clients, I think, have to realize is that they actually have a lot of power. It's okay to shop around. It's okay to ask your lawyer, in fact, to demand of your lawyer that they give you something that's alternative to hourly billing. I mean, there's so many alternatives. There's flat fees, there's capped fees, there's blended fees, there's contingency or success-based fees. There are reverse contingency fees. That's where when you get sued, let's say it's for $100,000, you're on the defense side now, you pay your lawyer a percentage of what they save you.
Okay.
Right? And there's a lot more.
It's a nice partnership, you know, with those kind of things where you're able to kind of do it. And,
yeah.
Again, it's thinking more like a business person, right, in terms of trying to create that partnership we're talking about.
Yeah, I think that's right. I mean, there is a lot of opportunity for lawyers to distinguish themselves. It's easy for a lot of them to just do what others have been doing for hundreds of years and just stick to the hourly fee. The hourly fee, it still boggles my mind that it has survived as long as it has, and that it's still. I mean, Jack, I think you're right. There are a lot of clients that are helping it go away, but it is there. It is there, and the bigger the firm, the more likely they're charging you by the hour. But it boggles my mind because I think about it this way, right? Imagine you came home and your basement is flooded. Big storm came in the night before. Your basement has 2 feet of water in it. You call Ohio State Waterproofing and you say, hey, can you send somebody over here? My basement's underwater. Ohio State Waterproofing comes over. Guy shows up with a clipboard, walks downstairs, jots some things down, looks around, and he says, you know, Adam, Jack, I'm going to charge you by the hour for this. I can't promise you that I'm going to be able to dry out this basement and seal it. I'm going to give it my best shot.
Right.
Right? I think this is going to take me about 40 hours, but I can't guarantee that either.
Right.
You would tell him to get off your property so fast.
Right away.
Right?
That's right. That's...
But what we do, what lawyers do, is in a lot of ways just like drying out a basement. Right? Our clients come to us with a problem. It's a problem in their business. It is, for some of them, catastrophic. For me to say to them, hey, I can't guarantee you a result. I can't promise you how long this is going to take, and I'm going to bill you by the hour. To me, for them to say to me, yeah, sure, where do I sign, is crazy.
Right.
It's crazy. If you're a business, a client, you've got a lot more power than that. You don't just have to do that hourly thing.
All right,
that's a good point.
And tying into that, I was amazed when we first talked to you. If I get the wording right, you invite your clients to reduce their bills,
mm-hmm.
right? You invite them to. I've never heard another attorney say that.
I never
that,
did either.
Right?
No, that's
so tell
nice.
Me how that came to being.
So at the end of the day, we succeed when we meet or exceed our clients' expectations. Okay, it's our job. We're supposedly the superior legal minds. We supposedly have superior knowledge and skill and experience to that relative to them. It's our job to manage their expectations, to help set them, and then to exceed them. And if we don't, that's our fault. That's our fault. So, and that makes things easy. You know, it's easy to motivate ourselves that way. And it empowers the client. It's, you know, again, echoing a conversation I'm sure you guys have with your clients, find ways to be different. That's an easy way to be different because I don't know a whole lot of companies or law firms that do that.
Well, I like the mental part of that. Is it going back to the first segment, you were talking about your experience with big law firms and there's the pressure to kind of bill and do things. And you said it's not designed for us to get stuff done quickly, right? Whereas this is more geared, it's like, hey, if I'm going to put something on that bill, I know that our client might question. So if I have questions about it, I'm not even going to bother putting it on there, right? So all of a sudden it becomes, again, see, you're starting to kind of form a partnership, which is very unusual. I think it's something that businesses need, but they haven't been able to find it, right? Now, we've got a few minutes to go here on the show. I know you're a very active podcaster. I have them listed here. I've got the best podcast ever, because, again, you're a very humble guy. There's another one, too. You had Mind Your Can of Business.
Ah.
And then the third one I had was GLF Legal Talk. So I'll give you out of those three, you know, which of those do you want to kind of talk about a little bit in terms of what's kind of going on in these last few minutes?
So all three are arms of the same body, I guess. Mind Your Can of Business and the Legal Talk. Well, so all three folks can find them by going to GertzbergLaw.com. There's a podcast button there. The Mind Your Can of Business is a series of conversations between one of my lawyers, Nick Weiss, and me, And we talk about, he is one of the foremost experts in Ohio on cannabis law, which is a big and very new area of the law. The legal talks are occasional talks that we have about different things with lawyers in my firm. And then, but best podcast ever is a fun project that that I have with my co-host Molly Gebler, who's the head of the Chagrin Valley Chamber of Commerce. We interview business owners. Today it is the second best podcast ever because I'm on the best one.
I'll tell you what a charmer you guys are,
you guys really have your stuff together. I have podcast envy right now. You guys have a studio and you've got all this equipment here.
Podcast envy. That's good, Jack.
That is. We should do one on that.
Is that like vertical agnostic?
Yeah.
Look at these different phrases we kind of go around. But we have fun. We have a lot of fun with that kind of stuff, though, because you know business should be fun. It's something you're having a fun time, and it's fantastic to hear your story. I know we only touched on a little bit of it today, but we really appreciate you sharing with us, Alex, because, again, it's very inspiring. The first 7 years have been amazing, it seems like, so far. I'm curious what the next seven has in store for you, but I know it's going to be a lot of fun doing what you're doing. We appreciate you being here. Our listeners, we appreciate you being part of the show as well, and you can catch us every Wednesday. Now, we're going to be changing that the next 2 weeks, because next week's Christmas, and then the week after that's New Year's Day. So the next 2 weeks, we're actually going to be on Thursdays at 6 o'clock, so you can kind of change that. But if you want to get a hold of us in between, you can give us an email, radio@maximumvp.com, or give us a call, 877-849-0670. If you missed any of today's show or our prior shows, you can catch them all on our website, dirtysecretsofsmallbusiness.com, our Facebook page, as well, or you can go use your smart device, go to Stitcher, iTunes, Google Play, all that good stuff, and Spotify, and subscribe there. And if you like what you hear, leave a review, only positive, please, good vibes, folks. In any case, you can hear more Dirty Secrets of Small Business again next Thursday at 6 p.m. Hey, thanks for listening on Integrity Radio, WINT 1330 AM, 101.5 FM, and online, WINTradio.com. Some folks are born, man.